What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Scott Sidlow, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Troy King, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 138 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. We are here at just about halftime of this Ravens Browns game where way too many playoff games are left up to, oh, and there's a Baker Hail Mary. Why are you, and he out through the, oh man, someone ran into the pole. okay. Sorry. That had to hurt.
wow. You don't see that every day.
I literally don't think I've ever seen that. First of all, I don't think I've ever seen anyone overthrow the end zone, no less a defenseman try to chase it down and run into the goalpost. That is a very fitting start to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You know, that's how this goes. So, okay, but before we get started, let's talk about what everyone cares about. Hey, Troy, how's your fantasy teams doing?
My fantasy teams overall, so I'm in 12 leagues. Six of them made the playoffs. So three of them have already been kicked out. One of them's on the line right now. I needed Lamar to score about three more points and actually win it. And then the rest of them, I have first round buys. So it's up and down, but so far so good. I'm going to try to get at least one championship. So
that's what I keep telling myself. As long as I win one every year, I'll feel good about myself. It doesn't matter that I have to keep creating and joining more leagues for that to make sure I get that one. But so far, I've won one, at least one every year. And sooner or later, it will be one that I actually run. And I'm crossing my fingers it's this year, though I already got knocked out of at least TA5 so far. So freaking JD from Goat District just whooped the hell out of me. But I was about to say I deserve it, but I think that's the one league I don't deserve it in. Like, I've been testing out trash talking, mostly because I know I'll never win a league I run. So I'm like, why the hell won't I just start talking like I'm better than everyone else? And that's ultimately going to bite me in the ass. But it's 4-6 are the two leagues that I am in first place with most points. So I've been just talking my ass off in those. So clearly I had a bye. So I'm not worried about them just yet. But oof. I was telling Troy before, I'm having a weirdly good year, like fitting right into 2020, where somehow I made way too many playoffs, even when I didn't think or I should have. So I'm still feeling pretty good, though. I'm tilting a little bit over this game because I need Lamar to score less than 40, and he has 22 at the half. I need Hallmark Brown to score less than 9, which he has 0, so that's a good start.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
He got two targets on their last drive, and they were just bad targets, so that wasn't even really his fault. But yeah, that bagel's up there. And I need Jarvis Landry to score 21 points, and he has like 4. And I really want that 21 points from Landry because I'm playing against Sipes in the Dynasty Trades HQ 1 Listener League. And I'm pretty sure he beat me in that last year. Like we met in 3 third round games last year, me and Sipes. It was crazy. And I can't remember what the split was. It wasn't 3-0. That's all I remember. But it would make me feel better if I beat him, and I'm not going to, and that's going to make me sad.
You have to win for the brand. I mean, come on. This is battle. This is war.
No. It isn't. And let me tell you why. Because in the Dynasty Trades HQ Patreon chat, they were talking, on their Patreon episode, they were talking about how their Patreon group would fight any other Patreon group.
Uh-huh.
And that we stopped and thought about it. And the crossover between Trade Addicts and HQ's Patreon is like probably like a good like 70%. So first of all, minimum. A lot of us are slapping ourselves in the face. But he did say he would not battle us anyway because he likes us. So that is one battle that is not happening.
They're allies. Yes. Okay. All right.
Well,
we're friendly for now.
Yeah. Frenemies.
For now.
Yeah, frenemies. That's a good one. We like each other. We don't like each other, but we don't love or hate. It's like a nice ball of in the middle. How about you, Scott? How are you doing?
Well, I had to write this down because that's what happens when you're so many. So I made it in 30 of 36, plus 4 rebuilds, plus 2 guillotine, plus Scott Fishbowl. And all I'm going to say about Scott Fishbowl is I ended the regular season 33 out of 1,440. And that's all I care to say at this point.
Yep. That's all that matters. You got that first round pie. Right on those laureates right there.
The week's not over. We don't know what happened. That's all I can say.
That's true. Okay. Well, that's our playoffs. And it is halftime officially. So we can talk a little bit without me staring at the phone that's right below my monitor. And me freaking out that I'm going to lose in some playoff games. So this is Troy's first time on the Trade Addicts pod. And
woo,
as we do with all of our first time guests, that's the word. We ask them we're off to a good start. We ask them a few questions to just let them know why they should trust you, Troy. Besides the fact that, I don't remember if I said this while we were recording, Troy, he's big time right now because he got that Friday follow Friday from Matt Berry, and he's on some Yahoo Fantasy Football podcast or streams or whatever it was. So, you know, I guess I should be thanking him for just slumming it with the Trade Addicts pod tonight.
For gracing us with his presence.
Yes, yes. I was told there was going to be a mustache situation going on from all of these Photoshop pictures, and it's not here, and I'm a little let down, I'm going to be honest.
Man, that mustache ain't coming back for hopefully ever or a very long time. The backstory behind that was that I lost a bet with John Bauer, and it was about DJ Moore. There was one week where I just needed him to score double-digit PPR points. That's it, you know, because he was struggling. I'm like, he's definitely going to do this, and I bet my facial hair. And I haven't shaved my beard in like 9 years, so I was so confident. And then I'm watching this game horrified, and I'm just watching the time go by, and I'm just like, I can't believe I have to do this. And I did it, and I got roasted for at least a week. My facial hair, thank God, grows back quickly, but yeah, for a whole week, it was brutal. And my wife, let's just say that she wasn't a fan of me and my mustache, and it was rough at home. All of the listeners understand, figure out what that means, but it was rough. but that's the kind of backstory behind the mustache. But you were talking about why they should trust me.
Okay, yeah, let's move on to fantasy football real quick. All right, so how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've been playing fantasy football for, I would say, about 6-7 years now, and I was really just a redraft guy, just straight up redraft, and DFS mixed in, but I was just, it's a redraft killer. That was my baby. That's what I was really good at. And that's what it is. And then in terms of like Dynasty, I actually started Dynasty earlier this year, this offseason. I just kind of dabbled in it, especially because I'm like, yo, we're all locked up in quarantine. Because it's funny because I knew people who did Dynasty, but I was like, none of my friends were interested in it. I was just like, yo, what about Dynasty? I'm not good at Dynasty. I'm like, dang, man, I'm messing with the wrong people. And then I happened to stumble upon like Fantasy Twitter. I didn't know Fantasy Twitter was a thing earlier this year. And then I'm just like, whoa, okay, this is a whole new world that I wasn't familiar with. And then I joined about five different dynasty leagues. And then I just dove in head first, trading left and right. At first, I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm like, oh, you know. And then I'm like, okay, I'm starting to figure this out. And then kind of the rest is history after that.
All right. Okay. So let's see how well you got let's see how well you walk down the road of figuring out how to trade in Dynasty. So why don't you hit us with what you think are some of your best and some of your worst?
Sure. So my best was actually just a few weeks ago, surprisingly. My best was Kyler Murray straight up from Mahomes. So I made a trade to get Kyler. So the first trade was that I actually traded Dak. I traded Dak and Gibson because I'm a contender. So like I had a first round bye and everything. So I traded Dak and Gibson for Kyler and Preston Williams. And I didn't want to let go of Gibson, but I'm like, Dak wasn't going to do anything for my, you know, championship caliber team. So I got Kyler. And then, you know, a few weeks ago, I flipped him for Mahomes because this was before he started, you know, sucking, you know, obviously because of injury. This was at his height of Kyler. And this guy's like, he really wanted Kyler. He's like, I'll give Mahomes for him. I'm like, you're going to give me Mahomes. And I love Kyler, but I'm like, I can't turn down Mahomes. So, you know, I smashed, accepted it. And then the rest is history. So that's by far my best trade. Like, super flex. So,
hell yeah.
I hate player, same position, same tier trades, but oh my God, I would do that in a heartbeat.
100%.
No, I hate that too. Normally, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, I might as well keep my guy, but like, Mahomes is different, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you could say he is a tier himself. So that is moving a tier up for nothing. There you go.
Oh, yeah. And my worst trade. So, at the time, I didn't think it was the worst. This was before the season started, and I really wanted Zeke. You know, this was when Zeke was like Dynasty RB number three, and you know his value is just. And it's not all his fault. I mean, he has kind of sucked, but his value has plummeted. So before the season, I traded Drake, CeeDee Lamb, and a first for Zeke. I really wanted him. I had to pay up big to get him. This was like, I knew CD was going to be good, but I was like, you know, he was unproven. I was trying to build my team for a win now. And I felt like Zeke was going to help me do that. And in retrospect, I'm like, man, I wish I didn't do this trade because Zeke's value is plummeted. CD's overall is, you know, much higher. Obviously, whatever the first is going to be, it's going to be a late first because my team's good, but still, I regret doing that trade. Every day I'm like, damn, man. I wish I had CD on my team still. And Drake, you know, he's done okay, but now I regret that trade.
Yeah, I could say at the time I probably would have felt pretty good about it because looking at it, CD at the time was a mid first.
Yeah.
Your first you said was going to be late. Drake to me wasn't even worth the first. So before the season, that's such a good price for Zeke. Zeke did not work out the way he was supposed to.
Exactly. I thought it was a great trade, but now I'm looking back like that's probably my worst trade now looking back. So it's how cookie crumbles.
All right. I'll give you one of the best pieces of advice. Never look back because it'll only hurt you more than it will help. I mean, you'll look back on that Kyler for Mahomes and you'll feel good about it, but you'll find six that you felt great at the time. And they're just like, oh, that was such a bad idea. Never look back. Never look back. Like at this point, every once in a while, I try and think of these questions. Like, what are the best or worst trades? My worst trade, I still stick with trades I made like 4 years ago, just because I try not to think of the trades I just made anyway. Like I remember the trades I made my first year, a couple of them, mostly because I got so darn lucky. But yeah, no, never look back. It's not helpful.
Okay. And,
it's especially when you're new.
I mean, when I first started, I jumped in the same way. I mean, I was addicted immediately. I had like four dynasty leagues. I was making all sorts of crazy trades. And I look back and I think, looking back sucks because some of those I really messed up. But at the same time, I learned like I'm not trading a stud rookie wide receiver for an older you know, running back, you know, something like that. But even so, I still think you have an opportunity with Zeke. You could probably flip him this offseason when his line comes back, and Dak comes back, and everybody's back. You know what I mean? So it's not a it's not a total loss. It's not like the guy's out of the league. It's not like me and all my Andrew Luck shares, you know, so.
No. That's brutal.
Yeah. You know, especially right before the season after you just, you know, passed on quarterbacks in your draft because you're like, oh, I'm good. I got Andrew Luck, you know. So, I mean, that's our game, though. That's what it happens. And Zeke isn't a zero. You can still do something with him. So it's not irrecoverable.
Recoverable. I still have Andrew Luck on one roster because I refuse to drop him because I drafted him early. I'm like, nope, not to save it. Yeah, just he'll come back. I swear, he's going to come back one day.
One day.
Okay, so Troy, what is a guiding principle you take with you whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
I try to just make it even for both teams. And I learned that at first I wasn't like that. So at first, I was a novice. I was trying to win the trade. I'm like, I don't really care about this other person. As long as I get, you know, the player I want, then it doesn't matter. But then as I continue to trade and continue to negotiate, I realize that there's no real point in trading, and it makes life difficult if you're trying to always win the trade. The goal should be like, hey, I'm trying to help this person and they're trying to help me. And then some finding a way to balance that out, because if you are looking for each other's best interest, then you're most likely going to get a deal done. It's going to be less stressful. If you're going into it trying to win the trade, you're just going to get, you know, rejection. You're going to get combativeness, and it just, you're just making life harder on yourself. So I've learned to step back, like, hey, I don't care about winning trades anymore. I'm just trying to see what he wants or what he needs, and I'm trying to get whoever I'm trying to get and make my team better. And now I don't care much about overpaying. And I think in the beginning, I was like, I don't want to overpay for guys. I was stubborn. I'm like, I want this player. I'm not going to overpay for him. But like, for some reason, I had like some warped mentality, like that guy was going to give him to me anyway, just because I wanted him. And I didn't want to overpay. And then you have to learn from experience, like rejection, like, hey, like, he's not just going to give him to me just because I want him. And I'm have conviction about not overpaying. Like, no, like, if I really want this guy, I'm going to do what I need to do. Who cares? If I get the guy I want and I'm happy with the trade, then it doesn't matter. So that's the way I kind of look at trades now.
Yeah, see, I try that even in my leagues. I'm like, look, I run this league, so you should just give me this guy. You should be thankful that you are even in this league. So give me Keenan Allen for nothing. It has yet to work. I'm just saying, you know, so maybe just stay away from that path. So let me ask you a question. Since you are a new to Dynasty guy, when you first started trying to trade, what did you use to sort of learn value? Like, did you use calculators? Did you stick to draft capital in your fantasy draft? Do you use what? What did you use?
So what I would do is, because a lot of them like this year were just startups. So I would go back to see what did I draft this player. And I would use that kind of evaluation, like, yo, I drafted this guy at this value. Like, no, I'm not going to take the guy you got this round. You know, and obviously in the off season, like, everything's still fluid. Like, you know, there's not any huge shifts in value. So for me, like, I use that as kind of the Bible. And then I also use trade calculators. Now, I don't use trade calculators as much, but before I was using it religiously, especially being new. I was just using one exclusively. And then I'm like, okay, me and these guys' values are way too off. Then I started plugging into like two other ones. And I'm like, okay, what are the differences then? Because when I first started using it, I used it as the Bible. Then I'm like, okay, clearly this isn't the Bible. I need to be more fluid. So I used it as more like a reference point. And then I would look at draft capital. So I was trying to use like a combination of those two and then just how much I like the player. And then to figure out what the best value is. And then how the rest of the team would be affected. Like if it was a running back, all right, what's my depth looking like? Or wide receiver, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm just looking like, hey, can I survive without this guy? So I kind of use all those factors early on to determine what I should do.
Wow, man. Like, you went through the exact progression. Like, that's like textbook, but like, you did that way too fast. Like, it usually takes like two-ish seasons to really get to where you are already. And like, man, you just like half a season and you got it. I mean, good for you, man. But yeah, like that's exactly, you know, Lamar just ran for like 80 yards.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Oh my goodness, I am loving. Holy crap!
All right, hold on. It's who's there? It's Trace McSorley time. That's too many points. Like we're getting a little too close.
Jesus. Oh my god.
Okay, so we are going to we're going to move on before I start stressing out too much. I don't think we had any real major injuries. I know. Do we ever find out what happened to Gesicki when he got like slammed on his face?
He had a shoulder injury. I don't know the extent. I don't foresee him playing this week. I don't know how long he's supposed to be out for, but I was very depressed when I saw it. Like, it was bawling. And then I saw that. I'm like, good Lord, why? Why would you do this to me? As a Dolphins fan, fantasy manager, I had a lot of emotion when I saw that.
Yeah. So. It looked like a collarbone. When he went down, I thought he broke his neck because he literally landed like on the crown of his head.
It was not good.
Yeah. But you saw him right away grabbing at his and Gus Edwards touchdown. Why? Gus Edwards.
Can we get a Dobbins here? Jeez,
it's too late now. But I'm loving no field goals. I'm playing my two home leagues are keeper leagues and redraft, so they have still kickers and defense. And I'm playing against Tucker, so I'm loving all of these extra points and not field goals. But Gesicki, the second he went down, started grabbing like his like top of his shoulder, and I'm like, collarbone. But like you were saying, he was looking like Tua used the tight end in Alabama more than most college tight ends used. So it was really good to see him sort of linking up with Gesicki like he is. I mean, I take advantage of this, right? Like, especially if he's on a playoff team and you should not have trade deadlines. Where's my camera? Looking right at it. No trade deadlines. That's a lie. If you want them, you have them, but not to mind you. If you don't have a trade deadline and you are not in the playoffs, late first for Gesicki, and I think I feel good about that. How do you feel about
it? Doesn't matter if it's tight end premium or not.
Sorry, everything to me is tight end premium. So yes, we're going to assume tight end premium, super flex tight end premium. That's the language I talk.
Absolutely, then.
Yeah. So I mean, I would start that. I mean, let's say I have a team where I just bought the team with. I'm playing against Lamar where he needs to get 40 and I lose. I just bought Thielen and James Robinson and T.Y. Hilton. The second he hits 41 points, because he's going to do it now just to spite me.
Where's he at now? I'm curious. We got to look this up, man, because you're going to be stressing if you don't know where he's at right now. He's close. My league.
But the second tomorrow morning I wake up, I get to my computer. I always look at all my, you know, Tuesday mornings, I check all my scores before I start doing actual work. He is at 27.15. So I still have 12.85.
He's running the way he's running.
Yeah. I'm going to be throwing probably Thielen and Hilton at the guy who has Gesicki if he's in the playoffs to see if I could do it. And if they're smart, they take that because, well, Thielen did not do well this week, which maybe why I lose when Lamar hits 41. But still, going forward, you still got to love Thielen. Did any other news happen? That's honestly all I remember.
Debo.
Foot something, right?
He's out for the season, they said.
Is he?
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. So I actually had Debo.
First play of the game.
Exactly. I had to start him in one league. And obviously seeing that, I'm like, when they were talking, I saw his face. I'm like, I just lost. I already knew. I'm like, I'm
in a really nice run, though. So you got like, you got 0.9, I think, out of him.
0.9. And I'm just like, brutal. Oh my God. Like, I'm going to lose. I'm like, I feel bad for him, too. He's just such a good player, but he's always banged up. Always.
Yeah, that was one of Colin. Yeah, that was one of his knocks coming in. And I was going to, you know, if we were doing our normal setup, I think right now my make amends, one of them, because I remember thinking of like four of them while watching football. But Brandon Ayuk might be for real. And especially, like, he does well with Debo there. But if Debo keeps missing time, like, that's just going to, which it seems like he definitely will. Like, Ayuk, I think, is going to be a thing. And I can't remember what show, what week, or whatever. It was someone recently, and I don't remember who I was talking to. So that helps absolutely no one. If you remember when I was talking about Brandon Ayuk, let me know. And I think I put him outside the top 24 for sure. And I think I'm changing that. I don't know how high just yet, especially because there's so many damn good wide receivers coming in. But man, like if it's just Kittle and Ayuk with sometimes Debo next year, I think Ayuk's going to eat pretty easily. So I think
I just,
I'm going.
I just traded for him.
What'd you trade?
One league, I know for sure I traded James Robinson for Ayuk in a second.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I was trying to miss the playoffs, and I somehow still made it thanks to Dax 4.5 games getting me so many points. Yeah. All I have left is Colt McCoy at quarterback, and I still made the damn playoffs. But anyway, I have an Ayuk now.
You have Ayuk now. Yeah, Dak is still Dak is the QB1 in points per game, by the way. And oh, yeah. by 3 points, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Dak. Okay, so let's move on to it's not really a main event or anything, but I wrote this down because of one of the trades I saw. And so let's start first with the question of how long do you hang on to your rookie valuations before making large scale changes to that value? So let's first talk about Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points for tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage. Ooh, I actually got that pretty right. And this trade was in Trade Addicts 1. It was Justin Jefferson for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a late first.
Wow.
Like 5 months ago, like we...
What? It would have made no sense.
Yeah. So clearly this... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's necessarily a first difference, but if you think CEH isn't going to get you points for the playoffs and Justin Jefferson will, then maybe you make this trade anyway. But let's first talk about this trade itself. Do you think right now at their value, there is a late first in between CEH and Justin Jefferson? Okay. No, let's go further back. Do you two value Justin Jefferson over Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Helaire, sorry.
I hate this question. You have to say at this point, yes. Yeah, I got to. I hate saying it because I'm a huge Clyde Edwards-Helaire fan. If you asked me like a few months ago, I would have said you're freaking crazy. But how can you not? Like, just the way that he's performed this season, and obviously he's only going to get better. And CEH, again, I still love him. I still love his potential in that Kansas City offense. But Justin Jefferson's real. He can win Offensive Rookie of the Year, for God's sakes, you know? So as of right now, I got to give the nod to Justin Jefferson, and I hate saying it. I love Jefferson too, but as a CEH stan, I have to say Justin Jefferson.
All right, what about you, Scott? Do you have Jefferson above CEH right now?
We've seen 40% of Jefferson's games over 20 points and 40% of his games under 7. So inconsistency, he has the big games, which makes him super flashy and we're like, oh my God, look at what this guy's potential is, right? Mm-hmm. It's still a fairly low volume offense, or most they want to be. They said Justin Jefferson couldn't play outside. I think he's disproving that. So I think he's proving that he can do it. And so as of right now, just straight up, I'm going to just take it because it's the wide receiver running back argument for me. And I'm going to go with the wide receiver over the running back because I want to build my team around them and then add in those running backs later. So straight up right now, I would take Justin Jefferson. But I also wasn't the biggest CEH fan. I mean, I like the guy. He's awesome. He was so much fun to watch, of course. But he wasn't my top running back coming out.
Was he your top running back after the draft? Like, did you do that flip like a lot of people did?
The landing spot thing was huge, but I had him third.
Ooh, wait. Okay, so who was 1 and 2?
So I had Swift and Taylor.
You had Swift first.
Swift won. Yeah, and it goes back to the A.J. Brown thing. I know Detroit is a disaster of an organization, and so I knew that Swift would likely drop a little bit, and I'd be able to get him in the mid-first. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I was getting him 104, 105 when before all the underwear Olympics and the draft and everything. I mean, he was like the clear 1-1, you know, and then this guy named CEH comes out of nowhere in a historic year. And then, you know, Taylor, obviously we knew what he could do, but had a couple issues. And then, you know, Akers super young, and Dobbins just going into maybe an unclear situation, might still be the most talented and in the end, maybe the most productive. But yeah, to me, it was Swift, Taylor, and Clyde probably moved up maybe because of the landing spot. But still, I'm going to go with the wide receiver over the running back in most cases, if it's close.
Yeah, that was going to be my exact argument. So I can't really hate you for it. I'm like, I'm a wide receiver guy, so I'm going to take Jefferson. I'll play that roller coaster because I think as of right now, at least, even when that low volume offense, what is mostly a low volume offense, his ceiling's higher than what CEH's is.
Still doing it, yeah.
Yeah, mostly because Kansas City just doesn't throw to the running back, which I think a lot of people just sort of chose to ignore or forgot or didn't know when they threw CEH all the way up to number one. But that's not really the point. Okay, so now we say that Jefferson over CEH, a second to me, would have got it, is like the real answer. So a first, I could understand if you think Jefferson is that guy to make you win the championship. I think I'm fine paying a first instead of a second.
If you have Jefferson, are you taking CEH in a first right now?
If my see, that's rough. Like, it's a pet. Like, if he's the only good piece on my team, yes, because I will then flip CEH for a lesser wide receiver and a pick. Like, if that's my first move in a series, yes, because the thing is, you know, you want to build around young wide receivers, and Justin Jefferson is the young wide receiver right now. So it would make sense to hold on him and to build around him. Kareem Hunt rushing touchdown. It doesn't help anything. The only team I have him on, I have a bye, so it doesn't really help me at all. Yes, because this is all about me right now. I needed a Landry touchdown. oh man, I forgot what I was talking about. Justin Jefferson being awesome. But yeah, no, like, if it's a cascading move, if that's like my middle step to getting, you know, like T. Higgins and a second for CEH, then yes, I would absolutely do this trade because that leaves me with that first in a season, no, in a draft where you're going to get a very good wide receiver with a lead first. So it very situation dependent, but yes, there are definitely situations where I would do that trade, especially if I am a CEH stan in the first place. But that would mean I would want to hold on to him, and that wouldn't make me happy. All right, so maybe not. So yes, if you're a big CEH fan, you do it anyway because you want CEH on your team. If you're me, you do it because you're going to trade CEH. Final answer. I'm rambling too much about it. Whew. Okay, but let's go back to the original question. All of this, like, how long do you hold on to your preseason takes? Like, I think we're at the point with Justin Jefferson where clearly we can't say he's worth a late first because that's where he was drafted, and you get laughed at if you offer a late first for Justin Jefferson right now. So clearly that superstardom changes things, but you know, CEH was worth an early first, Jonathan Taylor worth an early first. What would it take right now for me to offer you in draft picks to get those two guys from you? Like, if I offer you, let's just say, the 106 in this coming draft, would you give me either of those two running backs?
Nah. If 106, I'm not moving. I'm not moving Justin Jefferson for the 106.
No. That we know. But like CEH or Jonathan Taylor.
No, definitely not Jonathan Taylor. I don't think CEH either. I say no to both.
No.
Okay. So we're at least not at the point where we can say his conceptual value of an early first. We are still sticking to those, even though they have not really shown that they should have held that value. I'm trying to like find words to not make it sound like I don't like them and that they're bad, because I like both of them and I think they're both very good. But value-wise, they probably didn't live up to their draft capital. Well, in fantasy, in real football, maybe they did, but that's besides the point. We don't care about real football. But so I'm trying to think of other examples. Like, Swift isn't going to work because he's coming on strong right now, and he's going to be a league winner. I mean, I've been saying that for a few weeks. I love that guy. I'm sad I don't have more. I have too many Acres shares because I missed Swift by one.
I was opposite. I have all Swift. They kept waiting for me, so I was like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, Akers looks good for me now this week.
So I think for me personally, like each player is going to be case by case, but I'm still going to stick with what I thought prior to the season in most cases. Like, I'm not giving up right now, week 14, rookie year. Like, there's going to be a whole bunch of guys that I'm going to go buy right after the season. If not necessarily right now, but this next few months, I'm going to be buying any of those guys that underperformed because there was a reason that we thought they could go that place. Now, in some cases, maybe there's some that are showing, maybe they're not quite it, but I mean, everybody expects way too much just because some guys have done it right out the gate. That's what everyone's expecting now. You're expected to perform instantly. That's the world we live in, football or not. And I can't give up on that. There are so many guys that, Denzel Mims comes to mind, or guys that maybe weren't necessarily first round, but they were in that next tier. And so if I'm still willing to buy those guys, I'm definitely still willing to buy CEH and Akers and Dobbins and, whoever else falls into that category. Like I'm not giving up on them week 14 rookie year. Like, my evaluation is not changing massively. Does Jefferson move up because we've seen him do what they said he couldn't? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be foolish not to pivot a little bit based on new information. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to trade the farm for Jefferson based on that. And I'm also not just going to bail on a guy like CEH just because he hasn't had the best season, which they've kind of remember they were missing a couple linemen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you think back to what Hunt did in the offense, and that's CEH's potential in this offense. And so there's absolutely no reason he couldn't do that in the future. Andy Reid has always leaned towards the veterans in the past. And so based on that track record and anytime you're playing in a Mahomes offense, I mean, why would you not want a piece of that?
Okay. So true or false, you're more likely to move a player's value, a rookie's value up as opposed to down.
That's yes. Perfect way of saying it.
Troy?
Okay. I have a question about that. So I'm going to say I don't know, because for example, okay, what about someone like Keyshawn Vaughn? Right? Because there's some instances that he was going in the late first. Some people who are overzealous. His value obviously has gone down. So I feel like it's very scenario-based. So that's a perfect example. Bryan Edwards, he was going late, and then based off perception, wanted to move his value higher. So during the offseason, it got to a point where Bryan Edwards is the hotness, and obviously his value... I don't know, because he was drafted like late anyway. So it's kind of like he got hype and then it kind of came back down to where his draft capital was. So he's kind of, I don't know what his value is right now, to be honest. But Keyshawn Vaughn is the example I thought of when Russ asked that question.
That's an interesting case study because, people were crazy for drafting Vaughn in the first place. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, but I guess we have to stop and think, like, what would it take for Keyshawn Vaughn and what his value should have been in the first place. Like, if you're asking me, Keyshawn Vaughn should have always been a middle of the second kind of guy. Mm. So I'm going to ramble and stall a little bit while I try and pull up the Dynasty League Football Trade Analyzer.
Next year, it's just going to be, it's most likely, they're not re-signed for Nat. So it's just going to be him and Rojo.
Right.
And he was a healthy scratch this week. There's no way in hell they're keeping him. He's done.
Yeah, so I'm curious. Okay, so it's going to be, Rojo still has a command of that backfield, but obviously Keyshawn Vaughn, he's going to be worked up in the mix. So does that help his value? Because right now it's in the toilet. Like, if I could get him, you could get him.
Would you trade a third for him?
I was literally, you took the words out of my mouth. Okay.
Oh, boy.
A late third. I would. Late third, I think I would do it.
All right, so DLF Trade Analyzer, 12-team Superflex League. Oh, man. Keyshawn Vaughn is worth 22.9 points. A 21-3rd is worth 40.
Damn.
Wow, that's rough. Maybe I will start going through throwing thirds at Vaughn.
You might as well, because I'm like, I might do that.
Let's put it this way. He is young, and hey, man, he's got fresh legs now, right? I mean, let me just find some good excuses. Like, there was something to like about his profile, and he has a year of rest on his body. That's fine, right? That's a good thing.
Yeah, he was an older running back coming out of college. Now he's rested. He's ready to go. And he can catch, because yeah. Rojo can't.
Oh, he definitely can't. I love Rojo, but he can't catch the football.
No, like, he's throwing the ball to him reminds me of throwing the ball to Jordan Howard. Where it's just like, the ball's in the air, and you're just like, oh, why are you doing hands floor?
I get shocked every time he catches it. I'm like, oh my God, he caught it. Like, I shouldn't feel that way if I'm a football player, but I do when Rojo catches it.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so let's go to some listener questions, because we have a few. Our homeboy, Beryl Joffrey, late playoff run trade targets. You made it past the bye and you're eyeing the money, but what pieces could give you an actual playable edge that out-of-it teams are looking to move? There's a second part, but let's start with this one first. And I'm going to say my answer is the one I brought up before. I'd be going hard after Adam Thielen right now, because he's awesome, but he didn't score a lot of points this past week. And I think you'll be able to get him super cheap because he's 31 and people are silly and we'll trade him to you. You probably don't have to spend the first on him at this point. Like, let me pull up the score. When Lamar scores another 11.6 points and I lose, I'm probably don't expect to get a first value for Thielen. So if I'm a playoff team and I could throw a second at Adam Thielen right now, I'd do that so easily.
Well, I did try that in DDCL. I believe there's 4 shares of him, and I threw out seconds for a couple.
Yeah, but then one of them were me, and I said no.
I know, so that was very nice. But I did end up trading for Robbie Anderson there.
That worked out well.
That was before the DJ Moore news, so I guess that kind of worked in my favor even more. But Robbie Anderson's not really one of my favorite players, and in fact, I had 0 shares of him up until last week or whenever it was. But yeah, I picked him up. I felt like he's a guy that's still going to get the volume. He's not getting the touchdowns, but he's getting the targets and PPR. You know, I think he got me 16 points this week. He was like 8 for 84 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take that all day for a second round pick. So yeah, he was a wide receiver, that I thought of right away, obviously. And then, running back wise, I mean, I was still trying to get Swift everywhere before the injury and all that. Like, I was like, oh, maybe you guys are worried about the concussion, whatever. And I guess it was kind of scary. Like, even some of the players were like, yeah, this dude's not right. So I was taking that opportunity to try to get him everywhere. Too late for that, I think, now, though.
Yeah. Troy, you got any off the top of your head?
I would say earlier, not now, but I would say that there was a buy low window on Lamar. You know, a couple weeks ago, he would have been a good target to get because his value was definitely lower. I'm going to go kind of off kilter. I'm actually going to go with it's going to be a random name, but I think Eric Ebron, right? Yes. And hear me out when I say that, because he didn't have a good game last week, right? But I've been hyping him up for a while because the game before last week, he had back-to-back games with 11 targets, okay? You're not seeing too many tight ends who are that heavily involved in the offense. And Ebron is an exciting name. He's obviously known for his drops. But in the playoffs, again, I'm hoping that next game he bounces back. And again, tight end premium, tight end that's getting that many targets and that involved in the offense, that's a piece you want in your championship run. Mm-hmm. So I think that, again, he's someone you can probably acquire very cheap because no one's valuing Eric Ebron that high, but he can pay dividends. So I'll go Ebron.
Yeah, I was just scrolling through a couple of clicking on all of the matchups on my team where I'm waiting for Lamar Jackson to score 13 more points. Mike Davis, I don't know if Christian McCaffrey's playing again this year, which at this point, that doesn't seem a reason for them to put him in.
Yeah, there's no point in playing them.
And this coming week, they play Green Bay, who you can pretty much run on. But the week after that is Washington, so that's a little rough. But if you can get Mike Davis for a third, I mean, why the hell not? I think that's a guy you can get in your starting lineup for a third. So I think that's pretty good. Robert Tonyan. No one will want to trust Green Bay tight ends, you know, because let's face it, the last one was JerMichael Finley. And man, Troy, do you know that name? Like, have you been watching football long enough? Not sure.
JerMichael Finley, yeah, you know, Packers tight end. He was an athletic freak, so I do remember.
So, yeah, Tonyan's another guy. I just bought him. Actually, you know, let's just skip straight to the Trade Addicts trade of it, too.
You talked about this last week, Russ, buying Tonyan. And yes. And I was just going to, just to real quick, before you say that, Russ, I was going to piggyback off of both of you. Weeks 9 through 13, Ebron and the third guy, Logan Thomas, and Tonyan, 4, 5, and 8 overall tight ends from weeks 9 through 13. So all three of those guys are, especially in a tight end premium, right? You can plug those guys in and they're getting, I mean, Logan Thomas got like 31 points in week 13.
Yes.
So, Ebron had 17, Tonyan had, 19, 21, and 17 weeks 10, 11, 12, and 13. So there's three guys that you can probably get pretty darn cheap that are going to produce like a high end wide receiver in a tight end premium.
Well, since you stepped on my transition, thank you, by the way. So let's talk about my Trade Addicts 8 trade, where I traded away Devontae Parker and a third for Robert Tonyan and a second. How do you guys feel about that one, Troy?
Devontae Parker and a third for Tonyan and a second?
Mm-hmm.
I like that trade. I like that trade for you. You traded away Parker and got Tonyan. I like that.
Yep. What about... Wait. Oh, J.K. Dobbins touchdown.
Yeah, I saw it. I wasn't going to say it because, you know, I'm ahead of y'all, but I saw it. I was very happy to see it.
Yeah, Scott needed it. I'm glad you let me be the one to break it to him.
Thank you. Thank you. I need 18 total points from him. So I don't know if he's going to get there, but that'll help. Well,
they're going to run up the clock now. So because they're up by like three touchdowns. Yeah, 35-21. So maybe not quite. But still, yes. So Parker and a third for Tonyan in a second, which A, makes me feel better because, you know, Parker got hurt and left the game, and that would have hurt me in my playoff team. But this the real funny part was I got Parker in the first place from Kane, who I just traded him back to. I always love when that kind of stuff happens. But yeah, this one felt pretty good. Kane from the very beginning said that he wanted, ooh, yeah, Justin Tucker blocked kick, baby. sorry, I don't remember if I said before, but I'm playing against Tucker. And he wanted a second for Tonyan, like just straight up. He's like, I asked him what he wants. He said a second. I'm like, but I don't have that. Okay. So like I went to every single team with random players and started offering this guy for a second, this guy for a second, this guy for a second, and no one would give me a freaking second round pick. So it took a while, but this was the deal we worked out, and I feel good about it because my tight ends otherwise, well, I mean, I have Logan Thomas, so it made that you saying that stuff out loud doesn't make me feel as great about needing to trade for a tight end, which I did anyway. But I have Logan Thomas, Gronk, and now Tonyan. I had Janu. Yeah. And unfortunately, I picked to play Gronk over... I guess it's not unfortunately because I won anyway. But I played Gronk over Logan Thomas, which I'm not going to make that mistake again, clearly. Oh, man. I just remembered I traded away Irv Smith for Gronk. And that's why you never look back, Troy.
Oh, boy.
I love Irv. That's my guy.
I love Irv, too. But at the time, Gronk was scoring double digits every single week. And he hasn't scored double digits since I traded for him, I don't think.
It's all your fault.
It's my fault. Yes, my bad, everybody. I will take full blame on that one. I deserve that. Okay, so that's a couple of players that we would buy from teams that are out of it. Along the same vein, what are underperforming younger assets to sell the win now pieces for? Wow, this is the worst worded sentence I've ever tried to read. Okay, if you're those guys that you're a competing team, I'm out of it. I'm trying to sell you Adam Thielen. Who should I try and get from you if you don't have any picks? That's the question he's trying to ask. And this goes back to what we were saying before. The guys that are like Denzel Mims, you brought up that name. I'm going to try and buy so much of that guy before people realize that Gase is going to get fired and they're getting Trevor Lawrence. like months. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'm gonna have to send a lot of offers before I edit this and send it out. But like, he's not. Oh, Nick Martinez is drinking some peanut butter whiskey because of me. peanut butter whiskey, so damn good. If you guys haven't tried it, totally blanking. Denzel Mims, yes. Unfortunately, T. Higgins has just ascended. But if people are bummed from him not scoring points because Burrow is out, go buy yourself some T. Higgins. Brandon Ayuk, we were just talking about.
What about Pittman? So, like, Pittman's shown flashes. You know, he's been kind of up and down. I think he's a good target.
Yeah, yeah, he's my kind of guy. That's the thing. Like, I like tall, fast guys. Like, I still haven't given up on the prototypical X wide receiver. So, I liked Pittman coming out. So, I think that's a good idea. I think he needs a new quarterback to work as well.
Well, that's Toast Rivers is gone after this year, so.
He's doing a little too well, which really, like, I wanted him to keep doing bad, but he's been doing really well the past few weeks, and that worries me, like, on a team level. Though I'm going to say it again, Sam Darnold to the Colts. I'm going to say it until it happens. I'm going to speak it into existence. I want Sam Darnold to get moved to the Colts. He doesn't have to play next year. But
this might be once to the Colts.
They're one of the few teams that can do it. Because the cap is projected to go down. Remember, everybody knows the cap goes up every year, right? So instead of going up 10%, it goes down 10%. That's a 20% swing. That leaves some teams, including the Eagles. Eagles would be $65 million over the cap if that were the case. Over. $65 million over. Okay? So to get rid of that $35 million that Wentz is on for next year, there's only basically like five teams that could even afford it. And four of them are going to be, so Jaguars and Jets, they're drafting quarterbacks. Yep. That leaves Colts, Patriots, Washington, and the Bengals. Bengals have Burrow. So Colts, Patriots, Washington.
My Washington could do it too. Like, you definitely, because I mean, this is going to be an Osweiler deal, right? You're going to have to give someone a pick to take this contract off of you. And Washington, I don't think. Man, they still could win the division. Like, I mean, that's so weird and so bad. But, like, they can easily kick themselves out of drafting a quarterback. And I think that's such – that would be great for them, right? Like, man, I like – okay. It's legit, right? Like, that just made me happy thinking about that. I like that.
Would the Eagles do that, though, in the division?
Yeah, that's rough. I forgot about the thing.
I mean –
I think they would take what they can get with like, dropping that contract, especially in this situation. But, like, let's face it. I will never in my life pretend to understand the salary cap, but Howie Roseman doesn't understand it, and they don't care that he doesn't. Like, he just erases a zero off of contracts, and they're like, okay, cool, that's fine. You fit. Like, I don't understand how he does what he does, and I don't think he actually does either, and I think that's why it works. So, I mean, I have no idea what they're going to do, but, man, that can't stop thinking about
a lot of good money right now.
Washington jersey, right? Ertz will probably be gone too. Finally, after three, this is Goddard's year.
They picked up his option before the season, though.
Ertz or Goddard?
The Eagles picked up Ertz's 21 option right before the season, and that news went like under the radar, like nobody knew it. That's why I still stuck with Wentz in a couple, or with Ertz in a couple leagues that I was contending, because I was trying to move him and I wasn't getting anything, and I was like, oh, they picked up his option, so I at least got him for 2 years. I mean, I guess he sucks now, so what are you going to do? But
yeah.
He'll be there.
Okay, so what are some other young guys we are going to try and trade for at this point?
For a championship. Well, no.
This is for, you're starting your rebuild pretty much. Like, you just got kicked out and you want to just trade away some of those win now pieces. So you're not against scoring points, but you're also not looking to, well, you're not going to get picks. That's the real question. I think Brian Edwards is a good one. Another name you brought up, which I doubt you have to spend as much anymore. I'm a fan of the player, so I'm gonna cross my fingers.
What about players? Oh, you know whose value I think is a lot lower now? I think Jerry Jeudy. I feel like his value has gotten lower over the past because he hasn't really been producing. Again, like Tim Patrick is the wide receiver one, so I think you might be able to take advantage of that. I mean, their count, but he's lower than he was.
My whole thing with Jeudy when he was coming out was, didn't he play the slot at Alabama? Like 99% of the time, he was in the slot. So why wouldn't he be for Denver playing the slot with Sutton as the X. Now, obviously Sutton got hurt. I get it, but I just, I don't understand how they're using him. But yeah, he, no doubt, no matter what's going on there, quarterback situation, whatever, his value's definitely dropped. So I'd be trying to grab him for sure. But would you trade a late first for Judy right now?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's too many good receivers coming in, right?
I think I would.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest.
I don't think I would.
I don't think I would.
See, here's the thing. Like, you're gonna let's go over right now what we think the draft is gonna be. You're probably gonna have three quarterbacks. First three picks are gonna probably be quarterbacks. You're gonna have Harris and Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, I mean, we're already late, and it doesn't seem like there's gonna be another running back that's jumping into that spot up here. So we have five wide receivers. Chase, Moore, Bateman, Smith, and Waddle.
Waddle, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anybody else that you what? Like, there's Olave and
That's like the next tier, probably. But those top five that you said, I mean, I'd probably take all those guys. I mean,
so let's say
right
you're
up there with Judy, I think.
Yeah, right. Exactly, right up there with Judy. So maybe we take the guy we've seen do it a little bit, and he's going to get Cortland Sutton back on the other side, which people need to get out of their head that having a good wide receiver across from them is a bad thing, because it is not. I mean, Tyler Boyd does better when he has a guy on the side of him. And I mean, Calvin Ridley just destroyed even my expectations when Julio was out also. Well, when Matt Ryan has time to throw the ball when Julio is out, Calvin Ridley does well. but like, that's what Judy always was. Like, Judy came out as like Calvin Ridley plus. So,
right.
So I love Sutton being across from him, or I guess next to him, because like you said, Judy plays the slot. Okay, but yeah, so that's I think a good enough answer. So let's hit up Nick Martinez at FFGMO Life. MOF, man, it's Nick. You know, shout out Cool Kids Club. I'm not reading this very well right now. How are we projecting running backs in backfields where a rookie quarterback could land and start for 21? Such as Gibson, whoever the Jets running back is, James Robinson, Saquon, if you believe that Daniel Jones gets Rosened. Troy, do you think it is good for a running back to get, I mean, let's face it, is it good to have a better quarterback for a running back?
I mean, it is definitely better to have a better quarterback than a running back, especially for these examples, because right now, and don't ask me about like the stack box percentage, but I believe you can stack the box more if you have a suckier quarterback. And again, no one's scared of Mike Glennon. Obviously he just got benched, but no one was worried about him throwing all over them. They were worried about James Robinson, you know? So yes, it's definitely beneficial to have a young, talented QB in the mix. And granted, maybe not week one, you know, because they're still rookies, but eventually it's going to be beneficial to have that in the backfield.
Yeah, so maybe that's a name we left off, LaMichael Pirine. He's hurt right now, but he's also going to be walking into Trevor Lawrence coming in there. And I mean, let's face it, Frank Gore's not retiring yet, but so he'll probably still be there. But, you know, sooner or later, no, I'm never betting against Frank Gore ever again. I've been saying he's out of the league for the past like 8 years. But I completely agree with your point. If the team is drafting a quarterback, chances are it's early, which means they sucked, which means they could only really get better. So, and you usually want a running back from a good offense. So to me, it is arrow up for getting one of these rookie, especially when we're talking Pirine or Robinson, when they're going to walk on to Fields and Lawrence coming in as their quarterbacks. Like, to me, that's complete arrow up. Do you magically have the opposite view, Scott?
I do not.
Okay, just figured I would try. so let's move on to the last question before we hit up our trade addicts trades from Ryan Judd of the Cool Kids Club. This is his second non-point scoring season in Dynasty. First one, I had no clue what I was doing. Tips and tricks for navigating and building value. Targets to acquire probably seems pretty basic or beginner, but he would appreciate it. Well, this is perfect because we have Troy, who is going into his first non-point scoring season. My advice would be like the example I gave with Justin Jefferson and Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. And here's the thing that I think is so hard for some people to get into their brain, especially people new to Dynasty. You don't have to set a starting lineup until September. Do not worry about your running back depth. Don't worry about setting lineups. You're not going to have to do it for months. Worry about value. That's all the non-point scoring season is. It's fake value. I love it. That's why I love it more, because no one's scoring points. So it's really just manipulating what you think players are compared to what the world thinks players are. That's when you have to keep your eyes on Twitter. Keep your ears, on some podcasts. See who's talking up who. Like, man, any rookie that Ray Garvin is going to start talking up, like, if he's going to, you know, what he did to Jalen Reagor. And when you get on that clock and you have that pick that's going to be Jalen Reagor, you could have sold him for twice the value of what you should have gotten. You know, find the guys, like, Matt Harmon doesn't necessarily have the pull he did back in his Allen Robinson days. But, like, he used to talk about when Tyler Lockett first came out, Dante Moncrief. Like, there was the Harmon bump. You find these guys that follow these analysts' word, like, to the T and take advantage. But if you're too lazy for that, which I cannot blame you for, because I absolutely am too lazy for that, not to mention the amount of leagues I'm in. And I, if you've never listened to a podcast with Leo Pasiga on it, he has a notebook for each league where he keeps notes on every trade, every draft that happens for each GM. So he knows how to, you know, like in poker, you play the opponent, you don't play the cards. Like, he plays his opponents. I'm far too lazy and unorganized for that. I tried it for like 20 minutes and I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to go back to making this up as I go along. But if you're okay, so if your team is bad, my suggestion would be scaling back to players that might be even in this from the top of a tier to a bottom of a tier and getting some picks added. Get more assets. Do as much as you can to sort of spread yourself out, not too thin, because again, sooner or later, you're going to have to create a starting lineup and you want to have startable players. So don't like completely destroy, like, cause you need, when you're making trades, you need at least one guy to be worth something. So, but like, if you have top tier guys, I see absolutely nothing wrong with going from like Devontae Adams to Calvin Ridley in a first, you know, scale back a little bit, get some picks, get some other guys, get some rookies coming back. Devontae Adams for Ridley, Mims, and a second, you know, like manipulate these things to give yourself some pieces, A, that have potential to gain value, because that's really what you want to do. And you want to get more pieces so A, you can move them around, and so you could stack them to different people who like different guys. So that's my biggest piece of advice, not piece of example, because that's not a thing. Scott, why don't you answer this question first before I ask Troy what where his brain is at right now?
Yeah, so I'm gonna give our boy Judd a shout out here. He took over one of the worst teams in our 36 team relegation style league, and he on Sunday just completed his 50th trade in the league, 5-0, starting in July till now, 50th trade. His first trade, he flipped Cooper Kupp for DK Metcalf in July.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
How you do it.
Yep, and he just traded yesterday James Conner and Tyler Boyd for Chris Godwin. So just to show you what he's been doing, like putting in work, flipping, you know, little pieces here and there, making bigger moves. Like he actually had acquired Cut back at one point, a different share of him, and then just flipped him. So, I mean, he's been all over it. So, what you're doing is what you're supposed to do, and it's working. So you've improved your roster significantly. So I would tell you, don't doubt yourself. Like you're already doing great, with what you're doing, and to keep doing that. But now as you find yourself with a better team, that's where you start making moves, for, you know, to win, right? And when you're doing that, absolutely what Russ said, don't worry about your starting lineup, but you can start making moves with the end in mind, right? So you can start making, like, you know, package up to get a higher pick, to get a running back you want to plug in, or, you know, start moving some of those guys that, you know, whether you have any vets left on your roster after all these moves, after 50 trades. I don't think you have any old guys left. But it might be okay to move a couple late thirds for taking a flyer on some of the young guys we just talked about, like a Denzel Mims or somebody like that, right? That might blow up. But definitely continue to look and add value where you can. And then keep in mind that eventually all these trades, I mean, they're not going to mean anything if you can't go and compete and try to win a championship. So you can trade all day, but if your team's always at the bottom, you know, I don't know what the point is. So eventually we want to actually accomplish something from these trades. So make sure now that you've added a lot of value, to trade with the end in mind, knowing that if you want to compete this year, be looking to make some of those little moves, for some vets as well, than just getting younger and getting picks.
There you go. Okay. So Troy, you're going into your first non-point scoring season as a dynasty GM. Have you been thought ahead pretty much to the end of the season yet? Cause I know you said, who was that? Rashard Higgins touchdown.
That was the real Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. Hollywood Higgins. Let's do it. Sorry, that kind of broke me for a second. Okay, so have you thought with your teams? First, let me ask the question. I don't remember. We didn't differentiate. Do you have dynasty teams that are out of the playoffs already?
Yes. So I do have dynasty teams that are out of the playoffs, unfortunately. So for those teams, I'm kind of looking because one of my teams, and I'm going to kind of get your guys' opinion, because I believe that I have one team that was really built to win now, but I got really unlucky with injuries. For example, CMC. Mm-hmm. CMC killed me, and I didn't have Mike Davis on my dynasty team. And then I had different injuries, like Aaron Jones was hurt for like that little tiny stretch, and then, you know, he was never himself again. And then there was the issue with like the Bills games like being rescheduled. So I feel I just kept running into bad luck, but I feel like my team is still designed as a win now team. So I don't know if next season, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to blow it up because I still have like pieces. Like I have Tyreek Hill on my team. I have Robert Woods. So I have win now pieces. So I don't necessarily want to blow it up because I still feel like it can compete. I just feel like I just got unlucky. So I don't know. What do you guys suggest? Should I just try and compete next year? Do you think I should blow it up? I'm not really there yet, or just continue to move like small pieces just around, you know, maybe pieces that might not really contribute to me winning.
Yeah. See, like there's a very large gap in between compete. I'm still going to compete and I'm just going to blow it up. Like there's a difference between rebuilding and just retooling your team. And I think retooling is really the answer. It's like what you said at the end. Just make a couple of small moves to move yourself in a direction that makes you feel like you're not screwed after this next season. Like you probably, like, let's just say you have like Julio on your team, or you have Thielen on your team. You have these guys that there's just no way in hell their value is going to go up. Like those are the kinds of guys that you want to see if you can get real value for. Like, I mean, I keep joking that I'm just going to go unload Thielen on my trade addicts one team when Lamar runs for another 80-yard touchdown just because they're trying to run out the clock. I'm not going to do that because I know next year Thielen can still score lots of points. But if a playoff team comes to me and does offer me a first and change for Adam Thielen, I'm going to take it right away. It doesn't matter that it may hurt. On the surface, may look to hurt my chance of competing next year because I have faith that I can turn that first plus into something that's going to score me points next year. So that's really the important thing you have to realize, is that you can make these small moves and adjust your team a little bit at a time and not completely destroy it. Like there's a very big gap in there. And also realize that you don't have to make, this goes back to what I was saying before, the moves you make now don't, wow, that 2-point conversion. Off of Hunt's hands, flipped in the air, went right into the hands of another guy.
People's jealous.
DPJ. Oh, who needs OBJ when you got DPJ? I felt so proud of that tweet, man. Felt so proud of that. But the thing, what you need to realize is, let's say you trade Thielen for some guy. You don't have to be like, all right, this is my team now. No, you still have months before it matters. You can use that guy to go somewhere else. So even if you're like, I don't think this really fits, like I didn't want to trade for picks because I still think I want to compete, you're going to be able to move that pick easily when once we get into draft season. People are just going to get shiny new toy syndrome and they're going to overpay for these picks. And probably the top two rounds of this draft are going to be very exciting. So you're going to be able to move first and seconds pretty easily. So like my advice would be, don't feel like you need to make wholesale changes. Like keep your core. That's fine. If you trust Julio or I'm completely blanking on real names. I'm going to keep sticking to those two because AJ Green doesn't work anymore. So if you have these guys that are getting a little older, even like Hopkins is like really hard to trade still for some reason. So if you can't get real value for those guys, hold on to them because they're still going to score you points next year. But if you get even what you think is just fair value, honestly, I move them because it will help you during the non-point scoring season move your team around where you can get younger and still better. And Lamar Jackson is jogging.
He's questionable with cramps. So
yeah, McSorley.
So Russ is safe. He is safe for the rest of the game. But well, the problem is it's such a close game. Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
he might be just cramps. Getting an IV, though, and running back out. I don't know.
Dude, there is 13 minutes left of the game. Just sit, Lamar. It is only a 6-point game. Oh man, he's going to come back out.
It's too close.
This used to be a much larger spread game. 11.5 points. Oh, look at that! Oh no, they don't look at that Trace McSorley run. They don't need Lamar.
What I just saw, you notice that they need Lamar.
Yeah, no, I guess they absolutely need Lamar. I'm just trying to pray for my fantasy. Okay, so did any in that incoherent rambling help you at all? Troy?
Yes, it did. Thank you so
excellent,
much. I appreciate it.
I lose track of what I'm saying after a while. So, and I just keep talking in hopes that I get back to what I remember the point was going to be.
I would say you want to look at too, like first and foremost, like is this a league that started up because everybody was bored, like a COVID league is what I call it, right? Or a quarantine league. How likely is it to stick around? Like, was this an orphan you took over? Is it an established league? Do you think you need to win in the next couple of years? Like it might fold, or you're just, you know, you don't want to be throwing money in and then all of a sudden starting to rebuild. And it's like, well, this league didn't make it. But I mean, you can't always know that, but I'm just saying like, be aware of what's going on. Cause I definitely have a couple of leagues that I think like, maybe they won't be around forever. So I think I'm going to push towards the win now. You can always rebuild later. Like you can't always just win now. So if you have the pieces, I would still try to go for it. But like the one thing I would say is I was coming off back-to-back championships and I could have went for the 3-peat and I wanted to so bad because winning three in a row, I mean, that's what we want, right? But I was down to like Mark Ingram, Chris Carson, Robert Woods, T.Y. Hilton. And like, obviously we saw maybe that wouldn't have turned out well for me this year. But my point is I had the veterans, I had guys ready to move and I ended up just turning them all into Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, just getting younger, getting those pieces that are still going to produce for me. But the biggest point I want to keep in mind, and this was really, I think, what Russ was trying to say and did say in so many words, is the draft picks are going to have the most value at draft time. So if you can snag a pick and then use that later to buy an undervalued veteran, or he may not even be undervalued. It's just the shiny object syndrome, right? So people are going to want that new rookie player at that time, and you're going to get veterans for a steal. So even if you can move Woods for, a first and a second or something like that, you're going to be able to buy probably Woods plus, right? You're going to get a better player at that time, or Julio or what Thielen or any one of those guys, right? Remember that at draft time, those picks have the most value and the veterans have the least value. So again, it's all about adding value to your roster, and this is the time to do it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
See, that's why I have Scott here. I say a lot of things that are completely incoherent and he just like, bam, let's put that into English.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so he has a second part to his question, and we answered a bit of it, but I would just I feel bad not answering the second part. On a side note, I acquired CMC and Godwin in a couple of deals this past week. Seems like I got them for good value. And at this point, are they holds until 21 or at least until Godwin's landing spot is figured out? The question to me really is, when are these studs at their highest value? If you are holding on to a pending free agent, 99% of the time I take that risk and wait until they sign somewhere, because most people will find a way to be rosy-eyed about any landing spot, regardless of how bad it is. You will have one dude in your league or girl. Sorry. No, you know what? Dude is genderless. I stick with that. If you watch the classic film Good Burger, he's a dude, she's a dude, we're all dudes now. But seriously, if you didn't see Good Burger, go watch Good Burger. That's classic.
Cal, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, right? Oh, jeez. Wow.
Love that.
I'm older than you are. Fine. But like for CMC, I think I wait till the season's over. If he comes back and you don't have a trade deadline, yeah, maybe see if you can offload off him to a contender. But otherwise, I wait till the season ends and people forget that he was hurt this entire year. And he's not going to drop in startups. Like, I don't think his value changed. And I think it will be very hard to get full value. And if you think you got him for a good value, there's no reason for you to settle for less than his real value. Make profit. There's no reason to sell for the same price you got when you got a good price for him. So that's my advice on those kind of guys in general. Just wait till you think their value is at its highest or will be at its highest.
Well, you guys won both of those trades, so yes, absolutely.
No. Okay.
I agree. So holding.
Excellent. So let's hit up a quick few man, it's time for me to go to bed. You could tell already, right? A quick few Trade Addicts trades. And I put down a couple of these because, man, like, a lot of people that hate on trade deadlines complain about the idea that someone can buy a championship. But what they don't realize is that assumes we know what we're doing and who is going to score points. So first I'm going to stick to this doesn't even really count because Dustin was trying to win the toilet bowl, not even in the playoffs, but he traded LaVisca Chenault, Irv Smith, and a late second. How did Visca and Smith do this week? Really darn good for Noah Fant.
Oh, man.
Like, that's a move a playoff team probably would have done, too. How would that have worked out for them? Real damn bad.
Really bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's rough.
Exactly. So this one was mine. Let's go to Trade Addicts 1. I traded Odell Beckham. Okay, so I put it OBJ and DJM, just because I think it's funny. I traded two dudes that have three letter initials. Odell Beckham and DJ Moore for Adam Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, and James Robinson. Now, James Robinson did okay. Thielen did not do okay. And man, Hilton still kind of crushed it. And it appears that I am going to win this anyway, so it was worth it. Still got that 11.5 points that I really just got to hope the Browns don't score a touchdown so the Ravens can go back to trying to kill the clock. Damn it. I really just thought I... Okay, but so let's talk about this trade in general, because I don't know how... Like, DJ Moore is good. Let's start with that. Regardless of how you think of his season, because people are going to stick to what they remember at the beginning of the season and forget that he's top 10 in yards, receiving yards in the league. And he has been putting up double digits easy and hitting 20 in a couple of games recently. Of course, I did this trade purely because I'm in the playoffs and I didn't want zero because he missed this game because of COVID.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right.
So that's why I did this trade. But how do you feel value-wise about this? Let's start with Scott. Odell Beckham and DJ Moore for Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, and James Robinson.
I'm kind of surprised you bought James Robinson, though. I mean, that was my initial reaction, but
I want to win a trade league. I want to win a freaking league that I run.
That's not how it works. I'm sorry. If you commission, you lose. If you obviously this is how it goes. If you win, it's worth it, right? I mean, I'm pretty much out on OBJ at this point. So I know they just had his rehab video going on like every ad on
dude's
like
squatting for real with a newly torn ACL.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I mean, you're going to get another year out of Thielen and J-Rob versus DJ Moore is fine. So, you know, value wise, I think it's fine. I don't know. I don't like any of those players, to be honest with you. So it's fun. You know, if you got to go for it. So I understand why you did it. And, I guess I probably would have done the same just because, yeah, you're trying to win. Right. So I don't think I don't think it was a massive loss or anything. You know, I don't think you took like a huge hit, but it was definitely worth it for the other side, to move those pieces where he can hopefully flip OBJ and then he's got DJ Moore to either build around or trade later too. So I like it for the other side.
That's fine. As long as you said I'm not crazy, it's fine.
No.
Do you have any feelings on this one, Troy?
Yeah. So one, I'm jealous that you got to move OBJ because I've been trying to move him. And then there's one time someone offered me, and I always felt so disrespected. Scotty Miller and like a third. Something like that. And I'm just like, I just felt disrespected. Like, you know what? I'm holding him. I'm not even sending out offers anymore. I'm just going to wait because I'm getting this kind of crap. Oh, no thanks. But for your trade, I like it. Again, like, you're trying to win. OBJ obviously not going to give you any points. TY has been killing it. Thielen, you know he has the ability to have a boom game. James Robinson, don't really got to say much about him. He's been a rock star. So, yeah, for a win now team, it makes complete sense. I feel like it's a fairly even trade. So, yeah, I like it.
All right, so I want to tell the story of this trade a little bit too. Well, first of all, we were talking about, is it good for running backs to get those new rookie quarterbacks? And that's about to happen to Robinson. So fingers crossed. Like, I'm praying the Jaguars aren't stupid and don't spend capital on a running back.
That's what I don't trust.
They shouldn't, but that doesn't mean they won't because they're the Jaguars. Right. And oh man, third and goal. Oh no, Baker's going to run that in.
He did. Yep. He did. I saw it. He ran it in.
And that was a really good play, to be fair, on Baker. That was a really good play on him. Oh, but it's tied pending the point after. Oh God, Lamar just still be in the back. I wish you well health wise in like 15, 20 minutes. Just take it easy, man. So the story of this trade was I actually offered originally DJ Moore for Thielen and Robinson and didn't like it when I offered it, but I'm like, no, I need these points. And he rejected it. And I came back right away and I just added OBJ for Hilton and he accepted it. So, I don't know how that really works because, like you're saying, Scotty Miller in a third was the best you can get for Odell, but I apparently got TY plus a little. So, I mean, just to, I guess, give everyone out there the value on what someone got for Odell Beckham these days that actually was able to move him. Okay, so here's another story I want to tell. In Trade Addicts 5, sorry, Marvin, I'm calling you out on this one. He traded Cole Beasley for a third this past week.
What?
Yeah.
I tried to buy him for a second and I got laughed at in DDCL. Like, literally, like, come on. They're like, come on, dude.
Yeah. So, my lesson on this one is, especially in playoff times, but in general, ask around. If you get clearly selling Beasley is the right move for a team that isn't good. Like, selling Beasley right now is the right thing to do. But like someone slides in you an offer of a third for Beasley, start asking around. Like, because even if you think that's all he's worth, there's got to be someone who's desperate. Just going to put like the guy he traded to, I think, was the 2 seed. Go for the 6 seed. Go for the 5 seed. You know, I hate being one of those guys, which I absolutely was like, oh, I would have paid so much more. Like, I hate that because then maybe I should have, which, yes, that's absolutely my fault. But ask around. Like, if you don't have a trade deadline and you're talking to someone comes at you for a player, it is not bad form at all to shop your players. Don't feel like you're doing someone bad in any way, shape, or form when they give you an offer and you go ask someone else if they'll pay more. Don't be like, yo, Troy just offered me a third. Scott, you're gonna give me a second? Like, maybe that's a little not cool, even though I think that's fine anyway. But like, yo, someone sent me a third for Beasley. I'm probably gonna take it because I want Beasley off my team. You think you could beat that? 100% legit move. 100%. If anyone has a problem with that, that's on them, not on you. That's kind of where I'm going. So don't be afraid to shop your players out is the moral of that story, because Beasley's worth more than a third.
Absolutely.
And the last trade that I have to talk about on here is another trade where it's trying to prove the point where just because you make a trade during the playoffs doesn't mean it's going to work out well for you. Zach Moss and Antonio Gandy-Golden for Corey Davis. So while Zach Moss may not have done anything great in AGG's on the IR, Corey Davis scored 4 freaking points this week after coming off like 6 straight 20 points. And clearly, and I'm going to lose because Jarvis Landry did not score 21 points. And part of that was because Corey Davis put up 4 and because I had Mike Williams in my lineup.
Corey Davis strikes again. I believe he had 2 weeks or 4. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks last year as like a number one wide receiver, and then like 12 as like outside the top 48. So that's pretty much what he does. Now, obviously, this year's been a little bit different, but I mean, how many years are we going to give this guy? I don't know. I'm out on him. I turned him for a second before, and I'm perfectly happy with that. The guy's doing well. He's gotten points from him. I got my pick. I'm good with that.
All right, I was about to wrap up, and now we're talking Corey Davis for a second. Like, we just got done with the conversation. We were talking about Jerry Jeudy and Calvin Ridley. Like, some people should be number twos. Maybe we were just wrong about what we thought he could. But with AJ Brown on the other side, he's been doing great. And he's like, what if he goes to Green Bay and he's the number two to Davante Adams? Like, my heart it's thumping right now thinking about that. And all of my Corey Davis shares, like I'm here for that. I never said that out loud before, and now that's all I could think about. Like, even if he stays, he's doing well now. Like, again, we wanted him to be something that clearly he's not. And while that hurts, because I drafted him 101 more than once. Besides the point, but like it's like a fault in dynasty players thinking where it's like, he's not what we thought he was going to be, so he's trash. I call it the Dez paradox, because Dez was a wide receiver one. He was a strong top 10 wide receiver. And then the second he was like a wide receiver 20, people said he's not even worth a third anymore, but he's still giving you like 10, 12 points a game. That's good. You need that on your teams, unless you play, you know, in an 8-team league where you only start 8 guys, which, don't get me wrong, if that's what you like, more power to you. In which case, yes, Dez was worthless back then. But just because they're not what they used to be or what we thought or think they should be doesn't mean you should be out on them. And sorry if it seems like I'm calling you out specifically, but I don't necessarily care, Scott.
No, not at all.
But I'm all about buying Corey Davis right now, because we've seen what he can be and what situation he can work in. Like, he's a guy I would buy right now. And if he, because he's a free agent after this season, and if he does sign somewhere where he's going to be the number one, I would probably take that advantage to sell. But if he does end up in like Green Bay or somewhere that has a strong one on the other side, I'm thrilled with the investment I made, and Lamar Jackson is not back on the field.
Well, and there's a thing going around on Twitter about he might be just using the bathroom. Okay, there's some video of him kind of shuffling. So it looks like the bathroom. Now, like, there's this whole thing about, like, oh, maybe that's the reason he's out. I don't know, man. I'm hoping he just has cramps. Everyone's just making, like, poop jokes about him.
Oh, but, like, I remember one time, like, I can't remember who it was, but it was, like, at the last time where I was listening to ESPN, where they were just talking about that they would just pee their pants on the sideline. You know? Now they could just go into that medical tent and take a bucket with them or something. Like,
oh,
but that is not the way this conversation is going. So we are going to move on, because that's the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Troy, it has been awesome talking to you. So before we do actually call it wraps, why don't you remind everyone listening who you are, what you do, and the what feels like thousands of places they can find what you do.
Sure, no problem. So you guys can find me at TKingMode on Twitter. I am I'm a writer for Ball Blast Football. So I mainly actually do Dynasty content there. So you can check out my work on Ball Blast Football, as well as I'm one of the co-hosts of Fantasy Football Confidential. It's me, Linda G, John Bauer, and Mitch Sorensen. We air on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check us out. We talk about everything football, you know, redraft, dynasty. And we also get into deeper topics. Sometimes we talk about like race in sports. Sometimes we talk about women in sports. So it's an overall show. You know, I think we're PG-13. We don't get R too often, but I would say we're PG-13.
Which is surprising. You know, like to get people you have.
we like to get crazy sometimes, but overall, you know, I just want to shout out to, you know, Russ, Scott. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I've had a blast chopping up with you guys, getting to know you. So once again, thank you, and just appreciate everybody who's been, you know, supporting me.
Oh, man, I'm ready. I cannot even remember what I'm supposed to say next. Okay, so now that you did your thing, I'm going to do my thing. We have patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can be in the chat with us while we record, watch us recording and all that stuff. You could let me know that you're drinking whiskey that I like in the chat so I could talk about it. Shout out Nick again. Rock on. We answered your question. Hope you were listening for that. Also, you could be a member of the Cool Kids Club, our awesome chat on GroupMe, which is a rockin' and also just a way you find your way onto my podcast, because, you know, that's how Scott got here.
You may just end up there. You never know.
Yeah, right. After that, we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which is our site we have for t-shirts, mugs, stickers. I love me some stickers and a whole lot of random stuff. All the money from that will go to charity. We pick a new charity every 2 months. And for the rest of December, all money will be going to Partners in Healing, which is a charity that helps people who are fighting cancer pay their non-medical bills. So you're going through a lot of stuff. You can just concentrate on what you're going through and not have to worry about your mortgage, your rent, your electric bill, stuff like that. It helps you not worry about other stressors in life and just what's on the battle in front of you, though you're not supposed to say battle anymore because that's something you can lose and that's not the way you want to think. I forgot what word you're supposed to use now, but I'm still stuck on battle because that's what they've been saying for like the past 10 years. Whew. We also have our awesome wristbands, neon, green, and navy blue, $5 each. Slide up into my DMs at Dynasty Outhouse, and $2 from each wristband will go to Partners in Healing as well. We do normally, this is when I stop and think, is there something else I'm supposed to say? And the answer is no. But I do have one thing. Clearly, you've noticed the absence of Brian Haar the past few weeks. Unfortunately, Brian Haar has moved on from the Trade Addicts pod. You can still hear him on the Superflex Super Show and whatever 1,000 other shows are part of the Superflex City these days, which they are all awesome, and I love everybody over there. But Brian, we love you. Thank you for 3 years of awesomeness. And this show clearly would not be, if it is something, it would not be what it is now had you not been here that entire time. So thank you, Brian. We will miss you. And good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Troy. Good night, Outhouse.
Good night, guys. Y'all have a good one. Appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.